Beloved, our sermon text today is Psalm 46. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 46. As a reminder, I am just the reader. God is the one who speaks to us through his word. So let us pay careful attention to God's holy and perfect word as he speaks to us from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. This is the word of God. Just a few weeks ago, the country of Sri Lanka was hit by a tropical cyclone. That's what a hurricane is called over there. The 45 miles per hour winds brought heavy rainfall that hasn't been seen in decades in Sri Lanka. The cyclone devastated trees while the waters began to flood. Landslides turned into mudslides, and thousands of acres of agricultural and farming land were ruined. Over 600 deaths and millions of lives affected. Even with all the warnings, the country could not withstand the power of the cyclone. It was not even one of the categorically strong ones. It was a tropical storm. And yet, all the country could do was to sit and watch. The waters rose, the land on the mountains slipped into the ocean and the turbulent waters, and the foundations of the country were shaken. There was nothing that could have been done about it. That nothing. See, when the world falls apart, there is nothing you and I can really do about it. This situation is not dissimilar from what we see in Psalm 46, actually, a psalm that places our trust and assurance in God amidst a world full of danger, chaos, a world falling apart. And today we will see that God is indeed our refuge and our strength when the world falls apart. And particularly we will see this, that our hope in this life is directly tied to the promises of God. That when the world falls apart, we must look to the promises of God. The psalmist begins by exclaiming, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's a sure confidence, a confidence in God. Of course, the opening line is a summary of the entire content of this psalm. But the opening line confesses two present truths about God and our relationship to him. Firstly, God is our refuge. He alone is our protection, a place of safety, a haven where safety is found, where rest is found. Refuge, though, implies that there is danger, that the world it's not a nice and gentle place for us to live in. Whether you are fleeing pursuers or escaping a natural disaster, it turns out where God is where safety is found. Secondly, God is our strength. He alone is your sustainer, both of life and of living. But strength implies that we are weak and vulnerable, in need of someone more powerful than us to fight for us, to carry us, to do what we cannot do. In other words, this psalm is a reminder for all of our lives You know, there may be times in our lives where we feel safe, and those are joyous times, gifts from God. But the journey of life is a constant reminder that we're not in control. We're going to come across situations in our life that are too big for us. You may be in one of those situations right now. It may not be physical danger. It could be a relationship that you don't know how to navigate. It could be a hard situation at work. It could be you being persecuted for your faith. It could be something where you just don't know what to do. Well, consider this. Life reminds us that we're not in control. No one is self-made. We need one another. You look at an infant, you can't expect them to self-sustain. They're wholly dependent on their parents. And even as we grow up, that doesn't change. We're constantly growing in our dependence on one another to live the life that we have. We were created for that. So if other people have our security and confidence, in other words, if we place our confidence and security in other people, the psalmist is challenging us to say, well, how much more with God being our refuge and our strength then? There's another thing about life that makes it somewhat complicated, and it's this. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed help, but you found yourself alone? Have you ever called someone and they did not pick up the phone? Have you ever been to a meeting and the person that you were waiting for ended up showing up late, perhaps, or not even at all? See, what makes life hard is not only is there peril abounding in the world, but even as we depend on other people, people let us down. People are finite. People are irresponsible. People can be hindered. People can be selfish. And indeed, that is all of us, if you want to be honest. Have you not let people down? Have you not been let down in your life as well? And so life is dangerous. We're not strong often. And on top of that, as we depend on people, they let us down. But the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, but not simply so. He is our very present help in trouble. See, not so with God. God will not let you down. God is never so far away that you can never get a hold of him. God's not going to show up late to meeting you. In fact, God is found right where your trouble is. You don't need to go through various rituals to summon him. You don't need to bargain and negotiate with God. You don't need to bring your guilt before him, saying that you didn't do a great job this week, but please answer me anyway. You don't need to do any of that. God is ever present, ready at the drop of your request to be there for you. And not only is he just there for you, the psalmist is emphatic. God is our refuge and strength, our. Personally, he knows where you are. He knows what your trouble is. And ever vigilant, God is there to be there for you. And this unshakable character of God is why the psalmist then can transition to what this means for us. He says, therefore, because of this unshakable character of God being our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of our need, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Because God is our refuge and strength, we will not fear. And what does calamity look like for the psalmist? Well, it's like the earth giving way, earthquakes and landslides, mountains or glaciers collapsing, kind of like the world turning to chaos, kind of like the world coming undone. And I can imagine for the country affected by the cyclone or any natural disaster, this resonates a little bit more deeply. But what's interesting here is in Psalm 104, another psalm, we see that God is the one that established the earth. We read, he set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You, that is God, covered it with deep as with a garment, and the water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. What's amazing of why we will not fear, how is God our refuge and our strength, is because God is the one that created all things. If God set such things in motion and appointed these barriers just by speaking a word, then even if it starts to fall apart, those things are not greater than God himself. Such is our refuge and strength, that God is greater than a world that is unraveling. And here there's a comparison of the greater to the lesser in some ways here. In the face of a natural disaster, you fear for your life. You are completely out of control there, right? And if God is your refuge and strength in those moments, then how much more is he there in those moments in your relationships, in every part of your life where you feel powerless, in every moment that you feel the grasp of control slip from you? God is indeed there with you, even in those troubles. God is greater than all of this, and God is our refuge and strength in the midst of all of our worries and difficulties. Now, if we will not fear, then the psalmist wants to describe to us what peace looks like. Indeed, he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. In contrast to the turbulent seas outside, the psalmist paints a picture of a river flowing out of a city. Though the earth has no stability and everything is caving in on itself, this city does not seem to be affected. This river flows and nourishes the city. The trees in there are evergreen. The pastures are green. The inhabitants have plenty and are well fed. This river and this city is the city of God, the place where God himself dwells. Notice the holy habitation of the city, that God is holy. And as he is there in the city has now become holy, set apart. Now we know that God is a spirit and does not need to dwell in a city, but for our sake, this imagery is deployed. First, you understand this picture of safety and security. So think back to where you live right now. I hope you live in a place where you feel safe, where you think your kids can run about and you not have to worry about them. That is closer to the image of this city of God. Except in this case, it's not simply because you're in a good neighborhood, but rather because God himself lives with you. Imagine not having to worry about what happens in and around your neighborhood because God is your neighbor. Maybe some of you may be thinking, that sounds terrifying to me. I wouldn't know what to do if God were my neighbor. But if God was in my neighborhood, that means it's the safest place to be. Why worry about anything if the maker of heaven and earth lives with me? Such is the city of God. It's a refuge because God is there. Not simply because he's taken all the difficult things and kept them out, but because he is there, nothing can touch the city itself. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. See, God's presence is God's refuge. Where God is found is where refuge is. And because God is in the city, though the whole earth is shaking and collapsing and falling away, the foundations of the city will never be moved because God is there. And God's timing is perfect. Almost as sure as the dawn is going to arrive after the night, God will be there to help this city in the midst of a falling world. The psalmist now turns the page a little bit to speak of those who exist outside of the city. He says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. See, the kingdoms who are outside the city of God, their foundations are so flimsy that they are being tossed to and fro with the turbulent waves. Because they're not in the city of God, whose foundations are never going to be moved, they're raging. They've pit themselves against God, saying, we don't need you. We can do this on our own. And yet, when God utters his voice, the earth melts. What's interesting here is the nations who are raging cannot stand on firm foundation. They're being tossed to and fro from the calamity. But when God speaks, the earth melts. In other words, God's word can cause the calamity greater than what they have as well. God, the one who spoke existence, God who spoke and creation came into being, if he speaks, creation can come undone in an instant. But for the believer, but for the one who trusts in the God of refuge and strength, they confess, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, God who speaks and can cause the earth to come undone is also the Lord of all the angel armies, the Lord of the spiritual realm. Nothing in heaven and on earth is outside of his control. And he wields this host of angels for the good of the believer. But what's interesting is the rest of the confession is the God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob. Jacob the patriarch is a demonstration of God's grace and promise to his people. The scoundrel Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the one who was least likely to inherit the promises of God, inherits the promises of God. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The imagery here that the psalmist wants to evoke is think of the highest and tallest mountain. And on top of this mountain is a castle. See, the reason this fortress is impenetrable is because no one can climb the mountain. By the time they get there, they're weak. They're out of breath. They can't really even siege this fortress because it's so high up there. And that's the imagery, is that God is on this high mountain, this fortress that's impenetrable. And yet, if you remember the story of Jacob, as he's running away from Esau, he sees a vision, a ladder, a staircase from heaven where angels are ascending and descending on this staircase. And at the top of the staircase is what? The throne of God. God in his fortress then is coming down, wielding the angel armies to deliver and rescue Jacob. Thus, the Lord of angel armies, our God, our refuge and our strength, is indeed our fortress, but he doesn't just stay there. He comes down. He steps out of the holy city to address the whole earth, and he steps down to save his people. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. This call that reverberates throughout all the nations, behold the awesome might of God. Behold God who speaks and creation comes undone. Behold, God who is awesome in majesty and power. Beloved, have you ever sat in the heart of a storm? Have you ever felt a mighty earthquake? Or have you even seen a video of a volcanic eruption even? This is the sense the psalmist is trying to evoke here. Why do we think that God is not fierce and mighty and powerful? There's a great line in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where they're talking about Aslan, a picture of God or representation of God in the book. And they say, oh, the lion, is he safe? I say, oh, no, he's not safe. But he is good. Why would you ever think you can domesticate a lion? No, of course he's not safe. He's fierce and mighty as a lion ought to be, but he's good. And here the picture the psalmist wants to evoke is the awesome power of God. He is all-powerful. And even the smallest demonstration of his power will wipe away the whole earth. In the face of a natural disaster, we are almost put in our place. How awesome is this work of nature, but how much more awesome is the God who created all things. But humanity, oh foolish humanity, thinks, okay, we can't overcome nature. However, we have power over one another. And how does humanity demonstrate such might and power? through war and conquering. The history of humanity is littered with war and bloodshed. But you see, when God descends, though, he even breaks such power. He breaks such confidence we put in our power over one another. See, in verse 9, when God has descended, he says he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God puts an end to the foolishness of man when he shows up. The war ceases. The weapons of war are shattered. The most advanced technologies are consumed with fire, and there is silence on the earth. In the presence of God who descends, and then he speaks. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God descends to put back into place the reason for existence. Creation was made for the glory of God, and man was made for the glory of God. And yet God has to step down into this foolishness because man went astray, seeking to be his own God. See, the very first lie in the Garden of Eden was, oh, if you eat of that, you will surely not die, but you will become like God. Man, who was created in the image of God, sought to be God. And what was the result of that? Well, it was sin and the curse on the world. The dangers fraught was brought into the world because of sin. And the very next story after Adam and Eve is about Cain killing his brother Abel. Cain and Abel in the image of Adam, in the image of God. War and bloodshed. And so when God descends, it is to still the foolishness of man. It is to remove the curse of the earth, to reestablish proper order, because creation was made for man. Sorry, creation was made for the glory of God. I'm sorry. And man was made for the glory of God. And yet the psalm ends with the refrain again, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is with us, not far off but near, but how can this be? If God descends, it is right for him to level everything. It is right for his holy wrath to be poured upon sinners who rebelled against him. It's right for the mountains to quake, and for the seas to roar at the sound of God. But when God comes down, he comes as a crying baby. Just a few weeks ago, we were celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus, the first Advent. That when God comes down, he does not come down in judgment. He does not come down in his fiery wrath, his righteous anger, but he comes down as a baby, incarnate as a man. Jesus steps into the world that's unraveling because of sin. Where floodwaters are rising and disasters abound, Jesus steps into a world full of war and strife. The nation of Israel, already under the persecution of the Roman government. And this perfect baby, this perfect man, the sinless Savior, who should not experience suffering or death, steps into suffering, and he suffers. God suffers the curse, the war, the bloodshed. And he does so to reconcile sinful humanity to God, and not to destroy it. Beloved, he came to reconcile you to a holy God. And Jesus, in the gospel narratives, we see when he comes in, he brings the kingdom of God. He heals, he blesses, he mends, he cures, he forgives. He's tender to those who are afflicted. Indeed, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, joy, and peace. And when he comes, Jesus says to the storm, "Be still." And the wind and the waves know who he is. Jesus came to take on that full wrath of God, the justice of God upon himself, and not on sinful humanity. God comes down to save and not to destroy. And yet the nations continued to rage. The kingdoms were shaken, not because of natural disasters, but because of Jesus. So much so that they crucified him. They couldn't stand God descending down, and so they crucified him. But then he rises from the dead. And as he ascends, he pours his spirit upon the church. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Jesus breathes his spirit upon the church, the city of God, where God himself dwells now, presently. It's in the church. In this city whose holy habitation is God, the church will not be overcome, though the earth may give way. Indeed, nations rage and the kingdoms totter not because of natural disasters, but because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. They can't handle a gracious God who came to suffer and die for them. And the church that confesses the name of Jesus alone, and on this rock the church will be built, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Both the earth and the spiritual realm will not overcome the church. And so when the psalmist writes this psalm in expectation of God's judgment coming down, bringing the city of God down, the first advent tells us that God comes down in grace and mercy. But there will be a second advent, and the last advent, and it will be different from the first. For indeed, when Jesus does come back, he now comes back with power and glory. And when he arrives, it will not be dissimilar from the psalm that we just read. Indeed, when Jesus comes back, heaven and earth will shake at his coming. But when he comes down to put an end to sin and to death and evil in this world, to the sin that you are struggling with day in, day out, to the regrets that you have had from the beginning of your life till now, to all the brokenness and evil in the world, he comes to put an end to that. He comes down for your sake. He comes down to bring you to himself. Therefore, if you're here today and you perhaps have not placed your faith in Jesus, his call goes out to you today. Indeed, if you're seeking refuge and strength, indeed, if you're looking for forgiveness in this world, if you're looking to be right with God, then come to Jesus. For when in this in-between time between the first and second advent, his grace and mercy is on display in the cross that he died on. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus, if you've cast all your cares and burdens onto him and him alone, to you, this is your promise. And this is your future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Therefore, we will confess, in this world that is passing away, God is our refuge and strength. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And the servants will worship him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Therefore, we will confess the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is indeed our fortress. Beloved, let the waters rise. Let the disasters strike. Let the evil men rage and totter and seek to destroy. These are the former things that will be passing away. It's not forever. But the city of God, the King who dwells in his city, the church will not be overcome. You see, our lives are hidden in Christ, who has promised us resurrection in the life to come, where he will usher in the new heavens and the new earth, which is far greater than our lives are right now. Thus, though we die, we shall live. Who can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus? No one, not one thing can do such thing, because in Jesus, God is our refuge and our strength. Ever present with us through the Holy Spirit, ever interceding before us, interceding for us before the Father, such that no hair can fall from your head without his will. Beloved, if you feel powerless, or when you feel powerless, in the face of natural disasters, or in the face of life, therefore we will not fear, for in Christ your lives are hidden. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us therefore offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. But thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Beloved, my prayer and my encouragement for all of us this year is that we would be still, beloved. That we would be still and know that he is God. Know that he is your refuge and strength. Know that he has gone before you to bring you through waters safely to Canaan's side. That no matter what you face in this life, you will not be overcome. For God will bring you to himself in the end. Though the mountains crumble into the sea, though the waters roar and foam, if you belong to Jesus, you are in his city even now. And where God is, nothing can happen to you that will take you away from that. And as you face these trials that I'm sure are coming in this upcoming year, as you face these trials, look to your future. Look to the cross. Look to the promise God has in store for you, that he will make all things new. Be still and wait for him, for God is our refuge and strength. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. O Lord, to you we call you our Father. Father, you are our refuge and our strength, for you have placed us squarely in the rock of ages, in your Son, Jesus. Father, that there may be much trials and suffering, and though the world with devils filled, Lord, one little word would fell him, and that is Abba, Father. We thank you for being with your church through the Spirit, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, though this life is full of suffering, Father, there is before us a weight of glory that surpasses any of the light and momentary afflictions that we face now. Lord, would you hold us and encourage us, God, that in the midst of all these trials and fears, Father, that we would not fear, but instead look to you and trust. Trusting you, O God, who is awesome and powerful and mighty. And you are the God that fights for us, that protects us and preserves us and promises us the new heavens and new earth, O God. Lord, would we cling so loosely to the things of the earth that even our sufferings grow dim? As you look upon our Savior who suffered on our behalf, Lord, that we would take heart and be encouraged to know that because our lives are hidden in him, though we may die, we shall live. Father, you are our refuge and our strength. Encourage us with these truths, O God, about you. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, we pray.